Hi, Patrick here, and Marco and I did a thing on The Big Show. Here's Marco.
With all the attention this week focused on the United Nations in New York, we wondered, when all the world's a stage, why don't more world leaders play to the global masses by speaking the world's most popular language, English? So the world's language editor, Patrick Cox, do you have an answer?
Today, there's actually a great example of why it sometimes pays to stick to your own native tongue, even when you speak good English. We've been hearing a lot today about this debate raging over what the Iranian president Rouhani said about the Holocaust in an interview with CNN a couple days ago. Did he say, as was translated at the time, that the Holocaust was reprehensible and a crime that the Nazis committed toward the Jews? Did he say that, or did he not mention the Holocaust at all and not call it reprehensible, and instead just say that historians should be left to judge historical events? That second version was what a semi-official Iranian news agency reported he said. And guess what? Each of those agencies, CNN and this Iranian agency, each of them was working from a different translation of what Rouhani said. So there's some plausible deniability there for him. It's actually quite useful.
So let's listen to this report on the use of English at the UN this week and in diplomatic circles. Here's the world's Aaron Schachter.
At the UN this week, this has been pretty rare.
Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies.
Turkish President Abdullah Gül takes to the podium at the General Assembly and addresses the crowd in English.
At the dawn of the 21st century, we had every reason to be optimistic about the future. But so the end of Cold War. We saw the end of Cold War hostilities.
His speech wasn't perfect, but that wasn't the point. By speaking in English, mainly about Syria, Gül conveyed his support for the U.S.
When choosing whether to speak in a foreign language or whether in one's own language, you have to balance symbolism on the one hand and the need to be understood on the other.
Michael Singh is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He was once an aide to the U.S. ambassador in Israel. Singh says deciding to speak English isn't just a linguistic choice. It's a message, the symbolism he mentioned.
Speaking to a foreign audience in their own language can be a very powerful gesture of outreach and of respect, even if, frankly, the phrase that you used or your attempt to speak the language is not particularly fluent. But the symbolism to a domestic audience, say for a Russian leader or an Iranian leader, can be quite different and can be negative instead of positive.
Russian President Vladimir Putin, for example, certainly seems to view speaking English as a negative. He does speak the language, but rarely in public and never in a diplomatic setting. Israel's former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, by contrast, spoke English every chance he got, even though it was heavily accented and clearly more basic than how he expressed himself in Hebrew. But many Israeli officials and Israeli citizens see speaking English as a sign of their importance on the world stage and their friendship with the U.S. By contrast, you won't hear a whit of English from most other leaders in the region. Philip Sieb, a professor of public diplomacy at the University of Southern California, says some diplomats refuse to speak English because of national pride.
They have their own language. Why should they speak somebody else's language? Particularly in developing countries, this is a way to assert themselves, and they just don't see any reason to conform to others' linguistic abilities.
Sometimes it might be more personal than national pride. Take Iran's new president, Hassan Rouhani. He did spend a few years doing his PhD in Scotland. And one would think that if he can understand and speak that English, he could easily speak English to an American TV audience or at the UN. But Iranian-American writer Azadeh Moavani says when the issues are so nuanced and the relationship so fragile, Iranian leaders like Rouhani want to play it safe.
Unless their English is fluent to a point in which they would consider it almost equivalent to their native tongue, they will prefer to use for interviews, high-level negotiations, their native language, just because it is the one in which they are most forcefully articulate, polished, and can have the most sophisticated statements and arguments.
And you know what, says a veteran diplomat? Sometimes a translator is just plain better. Jack Matlock served in many posts, among them ambassador to the Soviet Union in the late 1980s. He recalls a meeting with then-West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl.
he spoke in German very persuasively, but he had a lady who really translated it superbly, sort of got the emotional impact in it. And I sat there thinking, I do understand German. You know, he could not have been more persuasive if he had been speaking fluent English.
Others suggest that even foreign leaders who speak English perfectly will still employ a translator as a kind of safety valve. The time waiting for translation gives them a few extra seconds to think. And if they're seen as saying something controversial, they can just blame a mistranslation. Former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and former Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev are among the many leaders who've done just that. For The World, I'm Aaron Schachter.
Our language editor, Patrick Cox, is with us again. And it seems, Patrick, like the dirty little secret here is that so many of these world leaders actually do speak English, even if you don't hear them in public doing it.
Yes, they do. And I wish you could say it the other way, too, that, say, you know, Congress or the White House of the past few presidencies is full of people who speak Chinese or French or Arabic, but that's just all too rare. But even though so many foreign leaders don't speak much English, they do occasionally do so away from the diplomatic arena. I've rounded up five of them. They're all current leaders of their country. And Marco, why don't you take a stab at identifying them?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to greet members and guests of the General Assembly of the International Exhibitions Bureau.
We have created a partnership that is based upon both principle and pragmatism.
Thank you very much. It's very moving, I must say.
And we must always improve the relationship between our two countries.
When our government forced these businesses to pay taxes on imported newsprint, they call this an attack on freedom of speech.
So I think this is really a quiz about accents, right? So I'm going to say the first person speaking was Dutch. The second one was from somewhere in Asia. The third sounded like Dilma Rousseff from Brazil, slight Brazilian accent there. Pretty sure fourth was Francois Hollande. And number five, was that Peña Nieto from Mexico?
Marco, you got, well, let's give you 2 out of 5 for that.
Well, why the hesitation? Is that well, sort of we got didn't a half get a, one?
I think someone from Asia is worth a half.
I know. It's pretty loosey-goosey.
But the good news is that we've got the answers at PRI.org and video of all of those leaders. You know, Marco, I know you're not feeling really good about your answers in that quiz, but
state of shame.
Here's one that I think that you absolutely will get. It's actually one of the voices that we just heard in the quiz. And here he is singing.
I got it. So that first person speaking earlier was not Dutch. It was Vladimir Putin, because I know this is Vladimir Putin. He sang a version of Blueberry Hill some years ago.
That's right. It was in 2010 at a fundraiser.
Well, Patrick, this was a lot of fun. The world's language editor, Patrick Cox, thank you.
You're very welcome, Marco. Nice. And as you heard, there's a new home for the pod online. Don't worry, though. The old way, theworld.org/language, it still gets there. It redirects to PRI.org/language. Otherwise, you can keep up with what I do on Facebook at the World in Words page or on Twitter, where I tweet about what I'm doing, but mainly about what others are doing on the language front. My Twitter handle is Patricox. That's PATRICOX. I'll be back soon. Melody.